Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Oh, I love when we hop off to a different land, and we do it every Tuesday. We celebrate a slate of books destined to be your, I was going to say, you know, your spring reads. Yes.
You can read them this spring.
Spring reads. Spring
coming soon?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's why I hesitated for a moment. Maybe you just want to brush up in your knowledge. Maybe you just want to read a great book. All of those are acceptable. So we go and we check with the shelves of a great independent bookstore in our region and have them tell us what is cool and happening in their bookstore. Well, we go to one of the coolest, too cool for school guys, Matt Tannenbaum of the bookstore in Lenox, to share with us all the good stuff that he has in his store, and we welcome Matt to the program. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
Nice to see you today.
Nice to see you.
We're going to start with Benjamin Black's new murder mystery.
All right.
The Black-Eyed Blonde. Who is Benjamin Black? Benjamin Black is really John Banville, the Irish writer.
Oh, I like John Banville.
You like John Banville. I've never read John Banville. Don't tell anybody.
Okay,
this.
All right.
Okay. And I've never read Benjamin Black. But this one, he's writing as if he's Raymond Chandler, writing a Philip Marlowe story. This book came out about, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago or so. Got rave review, got rave attention, and then the reviews I've been reading of it are kind of mixed. They always say, "What do we need another Raymond Chandler book for?" Hey,
right?
I need another Raymond Chandler book. You know, he was good, and his Philip Marlowe character is terrific. He's the dark, seedy side, the mean streets, and he wants to find Philip Marlowe as the guy who's good enough to go down the mean streets and stay above the meanness. And that was Philip Marlowe. And Benjamin Black has taken up the call, and The Black-Eyed Blonde is a title that Chandler had left in his notes, a book that he never wrote. But this was a title that he had come up with. And so Banville, or Black, wrote this book. And Banville, coming from Ireland, throws in the Black-Eyed Blonde is the daughter of... I was going to say this is a great book for Mother's Day, because the mother in this book is integral to it, the mother of the Black-Eyed Blonde. I'm not going to say anything more about it.
Okay.
But Benjamin...
I trust you.
So it's tough. It's gritty. It took me, because I have to go to work every once in a while, it took me 2 days to read it. I only stayed up till 4 a.m. I haven't done that with a book in years.
That's great.
That was just
books
just
like that don't get, you know, better. It doesn't get better than that.
It's just terrific.
Published by Henry Holt. It's called The Black-Eyed Blonde by Benjamin Black, and a really cool. It sounds like a really cool story. So,
and we have a lot of Raymond Chandler in the store. And we have a lot of copies of this book, too. So if you're interested, this is a great one. And then you can go back and read some other old Chandler. The next one I have for you is a complete changing of the gears.
Okay.
This book's not quite out yet. I'm cheating a little bit. It's called The Pilot and the Little Prince by Peter Sis. And I have here a blad, an advanced copy of it. It's a large children's hardcover biography of Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, the author of The Little Prince.
Right.
You know, when's the last time you read The Little Prince?
Well, I was in school.
Okay. I read it last night.
Well,
I didn't have to stay up till 4.
Just showing off now, aren't you?
I don't know if I've ever read it before. Anyway, the biography, The Pilot and the Little Prince, came about Farrar Straus published it, Peter Sis's publisher. He's a great writer and children's book illustrator. Originally born in Czechoslovakia in the late 40s, came of age during the time that the Czechoslovakia was behind the Iron Curtain, and came out to America, got to America, and has written and illustrated these wonderful books on freedom. And this is he's written about Columbus, he's written about Darwin, he's written about Galileo, historical figures, and getting away. And the Saint-Exupéry, He was born in 1900, according to this book, and it's, you take a look at this, the illustrations, you know, he, Exupéry illustrated The Little Prince himself. He wrote that and illustrated it because he was an artist as well as a writer, as well as a pilot, and that's what this book's about, his being a pilot. But Sis illustrates it, and he gives you these sidebars, he gives you the side stories as well as the main part of the text. And beautifully, beautifully illustrated. There is an exhibit, or it just ended last week, I think was the last week, at the Morgan Library down in New York. Did you get to it? I don't know. Carol got to it, and I couldn't get to it.
I did, and it was amazing.
And Peter Sis was giving a talk about 2 weeks ago. I missed that. I couldn't get to it. But that's how I found out about the book and got an advanced copy from the publisher.
Beautiful work for the New Yorker.
Lovely,
as well.
Lovely.
Yeah. Neat stuff.
And I got to reread, if I'd ever read it before, The Little Prince. What a charming book that is.
Yeah.
And what a heartfelt book that is. And how, you know, this biography by Sis is, Exupéry is still relevant, you know, in today's world.
Absolutely.
For children, for grown-ups. Reread The Little Prince. We also have plenty of copies of that on hand.
I had to read it in French, and then I read it
did
in
you?
English.
Oh, I never read it in French.
It's lots of fun.
Here's
really.
here's no you didn't no it's not
no
fun
not at all. Well, it was challenging. I was glad when I got my English translation. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that last trip to Paris as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So the next book I have for you, Joe, is because you challenge me every time I'm on.
To
bring you a book that you have not heard of, and this is called Braiding Sweetgrass, by Robin Wall Kimmerer, published by Milkweed Editions. Milkweed Editions. Well, the subtitle of Braiding Sweetgrass is this: Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants. Take a look at this book.
Wow.
A beautiful book. We first heard about this book, we first found it, because a customer came in and ordered Robin Kimmerer's first book, The Gathering Moss. And so Robin Kimmerer is a professor over in Syracuse at SUNY School of Forestry. She's also an active member of her Potawatomi Nation. I'm not sure where they're from. Maybe out west, but she's here in Syracuse, and she's also a PhD. She's a scientist, but she brings her indigenous wisdom from storytelling, along with scientific knowledge. And she brings us on this field trip through nature. I am not a nature guy. I live in the country, but I'm not a nature guy. But this book blew me away.
For only when we can hear the languages of other beings will we be capable of understanding the generosity of the earth and learn again to give in return.
She starts with talking about a myth, the myth of the Sky Woman. Sky Woman, who comes from Sky World, floats down through a hole in Sky World, in the sky, and to total darkness. But in the darkness, she hears the sound of water creatures. Water creatures gather and protect her landing. The geese all join together, and she floats on their back. They can't hold her up long, so they bring her over to Turtle comes by. And she stands on Turtle, and then Muskrat brings mud from the bottom of the world, and that goes on Turtle's back and becomes Turtle Island, which is a Native American creation myth. And she's brought seeds from Sky World. Contrasting this is the myth of the woman who must leave the garden and get what she wants to eat, get what we want to eat through subduing nature.
Mm.
And she imagines the two women meeting, or the descendants of the two women meeting, and one of them saying to the other, "Sister, you got the short end of the stick." So
that's the lesson.
So that was the creation myths. And creation myths tell us, you like that?
Well, short end of the stick. You are a nature guy, see?
Okay. I'm a nature guy.
Yep.
So that's published by Milkweed Editions out in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And you are absolutely right. I have never heard of it before.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So you accomplished your goal in that regard.
Okay. Well, I'll be taking off now. And what else have I got? Oh, This is a publisher whom you do know, and you probably know the author, Lydia Davis.
I love Lydia Davis.
Lydia Davis, her new collection. Has she been on the show?
She was on the show shortly before the collection came out. We're trying to get her back on again. Can't and Won't is the new collection. It's amazing.
And did she tell you? I'll read the where the title comes from. I was. This is the, well, you know, so we should tell the listeners, Lydia Davis writes these very, very short stories. Some are one sentence long, some are one paragraph long, one page long, some are several pages long, but she knows, as I read it in an interview, she knows when and how to stop a story.
Yes.
Very important. But the beginning, the Can't and Won't title comes from a dream, she said. It wasn't a true story, it was a dream. I was recently denied a writing prize. She had just won the Man Booker Award.
Not a bad one to win, by the way.
But she had this dream. I was recently denied a writing prize because they said I was lazy. What they meant by lazy was that I used too many contractions. For instance, I would not write out in full the words cannot and will not, but instead contracted them to can't and won't. And that's the story.
That's, I love it. That's a great story.
So Lydia Davis is a lot of fun. She's been to the store, but never for a reading. Maybe we'll get her for a reading this summer.
She's a genius. Yeah. I love listening.
Speaking of readings for the summer, we have a poetry reading coming this Saturday. It's on my notes to tell you about.
Well, tell me about it.
It's May 10th, Saturday at 5 p.m. Amy Clampett was a poet who lived in Lenox, and when she died, she left her house to a residency that allows writers from all over to come and spend certain times, whether it's 6 months or a year, 2 months, whatever it is. And we get these poets and writers who come to Lenox, new people every different marking period. And this Saturday, we're having the current Clampett resident, Peter Klein, whose new book is called Deviance, published by a small house in Texas. And reading along with him is a former Clampett resident, James Arthur, whose book is called Charms Against Lightning. So that's at 5 o'clock. That's our first poetry reading. We missed National Poetry Month. That was last month.
That was April. But yeah, that's all right. Yeah, May's fine. Yeah. We'll take May.
Do we have time for a few more?
We do. We have time.
Okay.
We have about a minute and a half.
Okay. What have I got next? I've got...
you have Vonnegut.
Vonnegut.
Don't forget Vonnegut.
That almost rhymes.
I am.
Don't forget Kurt Vonnegut.
That was my second play, Don't Forget Vonnegut.
So Vonnegut, the publisher has collected some of his speeches, seven of his graduation speeches. And the book is called If This Isn't Nice, What Is? And he's used that phrase before, right, in his books. Uncle Alex used to say, you know, one of the main things he objected to humanity was they forgot to remind each other how nice things are and how when things are sweet. Uncle Alex himself did his best to acknowledge it when times were sweet. We could be drinking lemonade in the shade of an apple tree in the summertime, and Uncle Alex would interrupt the conversation to say, if this isn't nice, what is? So, you know, this is after 4 years of college, you want to stop and maybe appreciate what you've been through, what you've gotten got out of it, what everybody's gotten out of what you've been doing. I'm devoting this to the college graduates coming up or the high school graduates coming up. Look what you've done and look where we are. And if this isn't nice, what is?
Yeah. So Vonnegut was full of great little stories. And So It Goes was.
And So It Goes, right.
So all very, very good stuff. Let me see. This looks like
a lot of Vonnegut.
Fun. I love Vonnegut. Oh, my God. If This Isn't Nice, What Is? Advice to the Young, Kurt Vonnegut, the graduation speeches, and it's published by Seven Stories. Again, didn't know this existed, so that's
no
very
kidding.
Cool.
Oh, no. You should have known that. Uh-oh.
You're the best.
Sheesh. Okay, I got one more for you. This is the one that I told you.
You only got about like 15 seconds, but go ahead.
This is called Heart of the Order, Baseball Poems, an anthology published by Persia Books and edited by so-and-so and forwarded by so-and-so. And baseball poems, great poems, but you know what? They're missing some other great ones. Where's Willie Throw by Paul Metcalf? Where's Bernadette Mayer's Carlton Fisk Is My Ideal? That's the only criticism I have. Otherwise, you can come and get a book on baseball poems.
Find out more, WAMC.org. It's the bookstore in Lenox. Matt, we got to go, but thank you.
Thanks, Joe.